Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The epistle lesson today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. This can be found on page 1150 of your pew Bibles. God loves joy-motivated giving because it expresses contentment in his gracious giving to us. He has promised to use his people and their resources as instruments of his grace for the salvation of others. A reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with the 6th verse. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission, flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ, and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for this inexpressible gift. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
2 weeks ago, I was in D.C. and had an opportunity to go to a gala that was taking place, and I was surprised by two awards that were given out. One was to my mother, and the other to my daughter. They both went up on stage and got an award. And this organization is called CHAMPS, Children Against Mines Program. I see a few head nods. You've heard of it before. They were celebrating their 20th anniversary. And this is where students from all across the United States are involved in raising awareness about landmines and also in raising support to fund dogs to go out and be trained and then go to these war-torn countries. And with their handlers, they actually eradicate landmines. They restore the land so that people can go back and go to school. They can go to their homes or workplaces. They can farm the land. So this whole process goes on. My mom was the Connecticut State Volunteer Coordinator. So they brought her up on stage to say thank you for her years of loyal service. And by the way, some of you who have participated know Connecticut has done very well supporting dogs all over the world that are saving lives. I also know, because my mother and dad are part of the congregation here, many of you have bought key fobs over the years. This was one of the missions projects or service projects the students were doing to raise money for landmine detection dogs. Now, my daughter got up on stage because 20 years ago, my parents introduced this humanitarian organization to our extended family, and they got us involved. And so Elise, ever since she was in kindergarten through high school, had CHAMPS programs sponsored there at her schools so that students learned about landmines and they could participate in making a difference. So it was a delight as a mom and a daughter to get to witness their celebration and also to reflect on an experience that we had as a result of getting involved with this, with three generations getting involved. When the girls turned 12, my sisters and I had a chance to take them to Bosnia with this organization. And while we were there, and I think there'll be a picture up on the wall here of what we saw. So that's Bosnia. Actually, behind that is all barren land. And in the next slide, you're going to see what we witnessed there. My daughter's now almost 22, but looks a little younger when she was 12. And then she was wearing all the gear, of course. But then we actually got to witness what happens when they're clearing segments of land, because that whole hillside behind us had all been cleared. So not only did we see the dogs in action, but then we met with survivors who actually showed us their prosthesis and told us their story of landmines. We also had an opportunity to meet with students in schools that had their families had been impacted by landmines. And I was struck by being in Sarajevo, where the buildings, even 20 years after the war, still bore all the marks of the war. It was overwhelming and amazing and hard, really a life-changing experience for all of us. But I'll tell you the number one takeaway from that trip, and it was that we got to experience how much God has blessed us. We had a whole list now of things that we had never bothered to give God thanks for, one of which was that here in this country, we don't have landmines. Another is safety, the freedom to get an education, the freedom of religion, and especially that we had been blessed with enough resources that we could actually share them with others. We got to share. We had the opportunity to. And really what we learned was, with God's grace in our lives, if we tried to do just the next right thing, God multiplies it into something far more than we could have imagined. And what I will tell you is, we left Bosnia feeling so blessed and enriched by the people that we met, far more than what we deserved. It really was a privilege. And we understood God blessed us so that we could bless others. Now, I want to go back to that first picture for a moment, where you'll see the red sign. Always around signs like this, there's a lot of barbed wire to keep not only people but animals out from crossing over into this land. And the land on the other side of those signs is barren. It's a place of lack. There's no human life or other life growing there. You can't harvest the land. You can't, it's really barren. And what often happens when I think about a scene like this is I reflect on my own journey. And there are times in my life where it's felt like some of my life was behind barbed wire. It was barren. It was lacking. There was something in my life that I didn't have enough of, or I was longing for something that the world couldn't satisfy. And when I think of it, I remember that God is faithful. There is a promise in our text for today that tells us there is a source that can supply all that we need. Like this land, we can become a place of life again. So today, we're starting a new sermon series. It's on gratitude and the generosity of God. And in the next few weeks, we're going to be trying to develop a lifestyle of gratitude together. Gratitude is our response to God's generosity to us. And what I love about gratitude is that it can change the way we see what we do have. We suddenly realize that it's enough, and even more than enough. And gratitude is a theme that you'll find throughout the entire Bible, in every prayer that's listed in the Bible. Now, we wanted to help you develop your gratitude response in this series. So Pastor Chuck came up with prayer cards that you picked up in the basket. If you didn't get one, there's still more in the back. But there's a scripture, which is today's scripture on one side, and then there's a prayer on the other. And we invite you over the next week just to let these words seed, take root in you a little bit and to grow. And we believe it's going to help you develop your muscle for gratitude. Now, what I love about this text for today, and I'm going to just tie it into something I did last month. I preached on tithes and offerings. Some of you that were here remember it was 2 Corinthians 8 That's the chapter right before today's text. And in it, just to remind you of the context, Paul is exhorting the wealthy church in Corinth and saying, hey, God has generously blessed you, so don't forget, raise that financial gift for the persecuted church in Jerusalem. So it's in light of that story that we read our text for today. And what we hear is Paul saying, God loves a cheerful giver. We don't give to God out of compassion, but out of a heart full of thanks. And what we're going to see in the text is we see that word grace show up a lot. And I just want to remind us what grace means. Grace is getting something we don't deserve. It's the free gift from God, and there's nothing we can do to earn it. It's our pardon for wrongdoing, and grace makes us whole and right with God. Our text for today is all about God's work of amazing grace through us and how he accomplishes this. Now, each verse is so weighty that I'm going to highlight just a few of them for you today, which tells us a little bit more about God's purposes and his heart for us. While Jesus told us to live abundantly, today's text tells us to give abundantly. So let's look together at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. I love that God's plan is that all grace will abound. That, again, that favor, blessing, and mercy, all of that is there for you to do his work. The focus is not on us, but on what we do, not on what we do, but on what God does for us. And notice how many times you heard the word all and every in this text. Every good work, all you need, all the time. The word sufficiency means contentment, and it's telling us there will be no lack in God's economy. And the good works we do are because we're a conduit of blessing to others. God delights to use us to bless others. And we have all the time we need to do it, which he has for us. In all our circumstances, we have, we are, and we do enough for him and for what he has for us in this day as we prayerfully align our lives and our hearts with God. He provides all that we need. That's a verse I need to remember every day. I don't know about you. As you were driving here to church, I'm sure you saw some fall colors on the way. Don't we love this time of year in New England? It is so beautiful. Well, someone pointed out to me this week that this text is actually talking about autumn, this time of year. It's talking about harvest and the time where the bounty comes in and the abundance of all the things we've sowed and reaped up to now. Work done in God produces life in us, and there's fruit that's an overflow that we get to share with others. There's so many words of abundance in this text today. We have bountiful, sufficiency, enriched, generous, overflowing, surpassing. That is who God is and what he intends to do through us as well. Let's look together at verse 10 to see more of this. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. God supplies, increases, and multiplies the harvest of your righteousness. Well, if that word isn't familiar to you, I want to unpack righteousness a little bit for us. It means living in right relationship with God and with other people and creation. We act with righteousness when we live justly, honestly, and faithfully to God's word. In Jesus' teaching, he talks about righteousness a lot, and he's referring to prayer and fasting, giving generously to the poor, forgiving others, and even loving our enemies. To live this way is to do right by God and to also set things right. So out of our right living, we have much to share. And harvest is all about something that takes root, that forms and flourishes, and then it produces an overflow that we get to bless others with. Now, when I read this text, I think of Sheila Hyland's tomatoes. Now, if you don't know Sheila Hyland, she is here. She was our former executive director and is now back in the financial office part-time. And we are selfishly very glad that that's true for many reasons. But one of which is that if you're on staff at this time of year and you forget your lunch, you are going to get to feast on the bounty of Sheila's garden. You will get a tomato and mayonnaise sandwich, and they are the best tomatoes. And we are so grateful for the abundance of her harvest, that she's done the work and the rest of us get to benefit. Now, some of you know what happens if you have a garden at this time of year. The zucchini take over, right? In fact, it's so much that you have a sign out in front of your house that says, please take it and enjoy. We have so much, we just have to give it away. We have to share it. Well, grace is like that too. Grace comes to us, grace multiplies, and then grace goes through us for others. And we see why this is important in verse 11. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. And what this is saying is the thanksgiving to God not only is ours to God, but it's other people's because we're going to bless them. And the excitement about that is God is saying you and I are part of his solution to the brokenness and pain around us. Change happens in us as we're getting closer to God. And that change is not only for us, but for others as well. We are blessed for a reason. When we're generous, the verses go on to tell us that others give thanks to God and they long for us and they pray for us as a result. So we are encouraging their hearts as we align ours with God. But here's the one problem. We are selfish and self-serving by nature. Our sin holds us back, and we can't do these things on our own. So how do we live grateful and generous lives? Verse 15 helps us to find out a little more. Very simply, it says, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. That indescribable gift is the grace of God incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ. God provides what we really need. His good work happens through us because Christ is the ultimate gift. And we experience God's surpassing grace when we allow Jesus to live his love through us. We give because he first gave to us. We love because he first loved us. And we forgive because he first forgave us. And all of this giving and living abundantly is possible because of the abundance and richness in Christ Jesus. I love the way 1 John 4 puts it, beginning at verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, which means atonement or payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I love that line, so that we might live through him. Jesus rescued us from sin and reconciled us to God. And the big idea, too, in this text is that not that we got it right and got perfect and then God loved us. No, God loved us when we were unworthy, When we were still sinners, God reached out with his love to us through Jesus. And if we can really take that in, how much we are the beloved, how much God loves us, if we really understand that to the depths, it's going to be just like Sheila's tomatoes. We can't help but give it away to others and give that love out into the world. It is an indescribable, inexpressible gift, precious beyond words. Loving others reflects God's love to us. We are loved by him, and that's what we have to share. He is the ultimate gift giver. So how do we live in response to this gift of Jesus? What does it look like in our lives? But let me warn you, entering into God's work moves us out of our comfort zone. Where is God calling us to be brave? His call on our lives may surprise us. For me, I think of our care ministers here at church as an example of these people of courage. They extend the care of Christ's love to the body of Christ here at Stanwich by coming alongside people who are suffering or going through life's transitions. Many have come alongside people that are not only grieving, but even those who are dying. And they tell me that they've been stretched. They've had to find that courage in the Lord. When they are sitting with somebody who's in a lot of pain, and they choose not to try to fix them. Or the challenge of praying aloud and asking the Holy Spirit to give them the right words when that person across from them is suffering. And they've told me these great stories about how God has met them in that work, and especially how God has been so generous in helping them to care for others. Blessings still come in the sufferings of life. And these care ministers are blessed to be a blessing. Now, for times any of us feel barren, like that landmine field that we looked at, rather than abundant, we can go here to the Bible. This is holy food that will nourish us. And rereading the promises of God puts back in our hard drive the reality of how much God loves us and God's purpose for us in the world. We heard amazing testimonies last week from our missions partners. For all of you who are here with us, you saw what it looks like when you sow and reap and you join with God's good work in the world. And what I loved about our mission partners is they said to me time and again, "We love Stanwich Church. We pray for you here at Stanwich." And I realized this verse is true. They were giving thanks to God for us. Just as we bless them, they were blessing us back in return. Now, when you and I bless others, in small ways or large, we are playing a part in God's larger story. And I really believe there's so many things we don't know that we did that may have affected somebody else's day, their life, their week. And God's doing that so that we stay humble. We don't know all the ways he's using us to bless, but if we have that attitude of gratitude and we go into our day looking for opportunities to bless someone else, to encourage them, to lift their spirits, to make eye contact, to say thank you, to let somebody in traffic, that's one is a little hard for me, but I'm working on it. But whatever ways we enter into the story, and maybe it's even being honest with somebody else, either how much we love them, how important they are to us, or here's my struggle. I'm going to be real with you so that you can feel safe to do the same with me. These are all methods, ways we are a blessing to the world around us. It's even showing up in situations that scare us to care for other people. You carry the aroma of Jesus, and you change the atmosphere when you come into the room. So know that you and I were important players in that larger story God is telling in others' lives, and they are doing the same in ours as well. So remembering all that we've been given, we can share God's love and grace to others. It will change our world. You have been blessed to be a blessing. Amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.